So on a scale of 1 to 10, how full are you right now, Paul?
16.3.
That's like a really arbitrary number, but for folks who didn't see, Paul had a breakfast this morning that probably would have fed like, well, I mean, it would have fed a small family of coyotes, I would imagine, for a couple of days at least. It was what did you have in there? You had pretty much every breakfast food from here
There
to
were three eggs, three
vegan turkey omelets or something.
three eggs, three sausages, three pieces of ham, four pieces of bacon, three pancakes, fruit, and that's it.
That's
Oh, potatoes.
spectacular. My
Happy.
breakfast was two big glasses of water, some cherries, and two pieces of toast with butter. So that would explain which of
Oh, there
us
was toast too.
is,
There's four pieces of toast in there
of
too.
course, four.
Four pieces. Well, two
Why?
pieces cut in half.
You're not like that big of a guy. Like, I get it. You're in good shape and
It's
you're
cheat day.
training. It's cheat day, but does that mean that you need to gorge to the point where your stomach literally explodes?
Yes, it does.
You're like that guy from the movie Seven who's forced to eat himself to death. You wouldn't have seen that movie. Never
No,
mind.
because but I'm on the track to seeing it.
Hey, folks, that reminds me, if you have movie ideas for Paul Almeida, can you tweet them at Paul Almeida 22 or at Dan the Max? He's apparently, bringing himself
Catching
into
up to
modern,
society, yeah.
North American society, and he's asking for movie recommendations. I gave him all my, hipster fucking underground movie recommendations, and I expect you now to give him your mainstream classic
Name
slight.
like the top 10 movies of all time, and I guarantee you I haven't seen them. I haven't
Okay.
seen Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, most James Bonds, Matrix, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter's, Shawshank, Schindler's, whatever else you got for me.
You're just going through them all, yeah, and I get it. You watched Good Will Hunting last night, and it
I
was like an
did.
experience for you because it was a movie that was not animated, and it was a movie that didn't star Vin Diesel. So that'd be the first time
I've never
you've
seen a Vin Diesel movie.
really.
Well, that's also because I don't like staying home and coloring, but
That's fair. You haven't seen any of his Fast Furious movies, like 18 Fast, 18 Furious, or whatever the sequel was called,
No,
however many of them they're up to
I
right
have
now.
not seen any of the Fast and the Furious.
Well,
S-s-s-s.
consider yourself fortunate.
But I have seen Cars. Does that count?
That counts now. I mean, I was pretty proud of you for watching that.
Well, I went to it started because I went to Disneyland, California Adventure, and they have this whole Cars land. And all of my cousins there were like, "This is amazing. It's an exact replica of the thing. This is so cool." And I was like, "I got no idea what this is." So they were like, "Watch the movie." And so
Would you like know what anything is at Disneyland, though, short of Aladdin's castle?
I know Aladdin does not have a castle.
He's a pauper, sir.
I mean, I know the classic Disney stuff, the Aladdin, Sleeping Beauty, Lion King, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But in terms of the new stuff, like the Incredibles were walking around and I can recognize them, but I have no idea what they do.
That's an underrated Disney movie. My favorite animated Disney movie is probably Up.
Up?
Yeah, Up is,
Oh.
well, I mean, my first, sorry, I should clarify, my favorite Pixar is probably Up. My favorite, like, classic animated Disney movie is probably The Lion King.
Oh, well, of the classics, it's got to be it's probably a tie between Aladdin and Lion King for me. Of like the Pixar ones, probably Toy Story, then Cars was pretty good.
Yeah, Cars is pretty good. They have a Cars sequel out now called Planes.
Yeah,
The kids are going nuts about that.
oh gosh. Well,
Okay.
that's our podcast.
See ya.
Bye. Do our survey.
Yeah, please do our survey. Paul, tell them a bit about the survey and what it is.
You need to do it.
Yeah, exactly. How many people have done it to this point?
Three,
Three? That's not bad, though.
I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, do our survey. It helps us out. It helps us. It helps everyone. It
It
helps.
does.
It helps the U.S. balance their budget. It helps the
Yep.
war in the Middle East.
Yep.
It
It helps
helps.
Manchester United win a game.
Chevrolet. Chevrolet.
Seriously, that's got to be the biggest jinx ever now. I mean, Chevrolet is not as good as Ford, and Manchester United is not as good as really any of the teams
Anyone.
above them right now. But we're going to talk about that a little later. We're the DP Sportscast. And right now, we're going to talk about what, Paul? Because we are, okay, we talked about in the last podcast that we were going to start with our NFL preview soon. Is that something that we're going to wait until this week to do, this coming week?
Let's wait.
No, let's wait. I mean, it is a ways off. I mean, but we can talk a little bit about what's been happening in the NFL preseason. And specifically, we're not going to talk about like, oh, whose offense looks good? Oh, whose defense, you know, whose new defensive coordinator is making an impact? Because really, we're not at that point right now. All Paul and I really want to talk about is the debut of one Johnny Manziel.
And how he did. I want to talk more about his middle finger to the Redskins bench as a Redskins fan. I didn't appreciate it.
Can we not use that term on this podcast, by the way? Can we refer to them from here on out as the Washington football team?
So the Redskins are my favorite team.
The Washington football team, I think you're referring to?
The Washington Redskins of Washington.
anyway, continue. Sorry, continue. I'm not going to bring my politics into this.
They should name them that, the Washington Redskins of Washington. Like back when the Ducks were called like the Los Angeles Ducks of Anaheim or something like that. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks in L.A. or something. What were they called?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is a football team. They were always just called the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
Oh, am I thinking of the baseball? What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
which
that's
is a stupid name.
Baseball team, yeah.
You said football, now they're baseball.
Shut up.
I'll edit that out.
Michael Sam sacked Johnny Manziel the other night in the Rams Browns game, and then he did the money sign.
They're all doing that. Someone else sacked him too and did the money sign, because that's the thing. He has the stigma attached to him now that I think people want to sack him just for that extra incentive of shoving it in his face, as opposed to someone like I don't know, pick another quarterback that went high, in, like Andrew Luck, RG3,
Blaine Gabbert. No one cares to sack Blaine Gabbert because he plays for the Jaguars.
Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Is that who I was thinking of? Who's Blaine Gabbert? He must be their other quarterback.
Yeah. Do they have other quarterbacks in Jacksonville?
This tells you we're not the best at football. Blaine Gabbert plays for the Niners. He's their backup. See, their names just sound the same.
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, so Blake Bortles and Blaine Gabbert, I thought they're the same person, but Blake Bortles is actually a decent quarterback that no one cares to sack.
Well, he doesn't. They will all sack his girlfriend, though.
Is she a smoke show?
Go Google Lindsay Duke. Get off the Eugenie Bouchard page and go Google Lindsay Duke.
Here we go. Lindsay Duke. Well, I like myself some Lindsays. We'll just say that. Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
That was the best reaction ever.
That's bad. Did she do a nice bucket challenge?
I hope so. I don't know.
I hope so too.
I haven't followed that closely.
I mean, she doesn't look like a rocket scientist, but...
But, you know what? She can,
She can set you off into outer space? I don't know.
She can cause liftoff?
There you go. Oh, that's a good one! There we go. Inappropriate cast, 2014.
Let's talk about Allen Iverson.
Sure.
Not really. We're struggling to find things to talk about, and there was a post that came out that said Allen Iverson was caught begging for money outside of a mall in Atlanta, which I think would have been the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, but that was false.
It was false. Apparently, he is kind of broke, but he wasn't begging for money outside of a mall in Atlanta, because it would have led to the best buzzer beater question this side of 2014.
Well, then ask me it right now. If you're not going to actually get to ask it to me right now. What's the question?
Name a celebrity that if you saw them begging for money outside a mall, you would not give them money.
Oh, man. Who would that be? Who would I not give money to? Well, like celebrity or sports figure?
Okay, let's go sports figure.
Okay, sports figure. I would probably not give Mark Messier money. I'd probably just give him like a Lay's potato chip and say, but you can't eat just one. Oh, except they only gave you one and you're poor.
And you're poor because you're Mark Messier. Yeah, I think up on that list has to be, oh, I don't know, Chris Chelios.
He's a troll.
Steve Francis.
Steve Francis is a gremlin. Have you seen him lately?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen his face? He looks like a Powerpuff Girl. It's just brutal.
Nothing against the Powerpuff Girls. I hear they listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Those views are the views of Dan solely and not the views of DP Sports Podcast.
Come after me. Let's actually talk some sports right now, though. Okay. Let's talk. Well, I'm going to touch a little bit on baseball.
Okay, you touch baseball.
Me touch baseball?
You touch baseball. Baseball. Gently and slowly.
I'm going to talk about my hottest team in the league right now. All right. You know who the hottest team in the league is right now, Paul?
Is it the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? Is it the Kansas City Royals?
First of all, they're not called the Devil Rays anymore. They haven't been since like the 1990s. And yes, it is the Kansas City Royals. They've lost four times in their last 22 games, I believe it is.
That sounds like my Tinder experience. Boom!
No, you would have lost 22 times in your last four experiences.
Years. In the past four World Cups.
Yeah. But yeah, the Royals right now, they're three games ahead of my AL favorite Detroit Tigers, who now, I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, the Tigers would not be in them, in spite of their ridiculous rotation and having the defending MVP and everything. Mm-hmm. The Royals are doing extremely well. And the AL right now, I mean, it's kind of like how in the NHL, there's such a separation between the West and the East, I feel. And it sort of seems that way in the CFL, not that anyone really cares. But in major leagues right now, it really does feel like there's a big separation between the AL and the NL. I mean, the AL, you have the two best teams in the league in the AL West, which is the Angels and the Athletics. Best teams on form right now. You have the Royals who are playing really well. The Orioles who have, you know, pretty much locked down that AL East now. You had the Mariners who were holding on to that last wild card spot for all you M's fans Paul Almeida. Yeah, they're looking really good. Even though really they're just riding Seager and Cano. And then you got the Tigers breathing down the necks. You had the Yankees that, you know, you can't really count the Yankees out at this point. They're, I think, only two games behind the Mariners, so they're making a charge. So it's going to be an interesting final couple weeks. Over in the NL, it's pretty much a lock that you got the Natties and the Dodgers, barring a collapse. And then the Central is interesting between the Brewers, the Cardinals, and the Pirates. But it's less interesting, I think, in the NL. You really only have two, maybe three teams, if the Cardinals start playing well, that are real contenders. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Bet365 odds, do you have those up right now by any chance?
I do not.
Okay,
I'm looking at a page from last night. It says Good Will Hunting, 1997.
That's IMDb?
That is IMDb.
I love that you finally watch a good movie and now you're just all about it. You're just quoting it on your Facebook, tweeting about it.
It's so good.
You added it to your Tinder quote profile.
I did. I wrote, the bad times are something, something good times. I don't know what the quote was.
It's a really good quote.
Thanks, man.
It's from Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. Well, now that you're actually going to be watching lots of cinema, I'm sure you'll find plenty of other quotes.
To win the division. Who is it?
Well, I mean, if we're looking right now at the NL Central, or pardon me, the AL Central with the Royals and the Tigers, what's it looking at right now?
Royals and the Tigers. Tigers are 1.83. Royals at 2.
Yeah, so they still think, I mean, they're really reining in the Royals' playoff odds. The Royals, by the way, are a team that has not made the playoffs since, I believe it's 1989, when they won the World Series with George Brett on their team and everything. They have the longest drought right now in terms of playoff appearances for all teams. I'm just going to quickly look this up. So that's what it is. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that they, if they could stay on this path, and they don't have the best roster. I mean, by no means do I think that they can be like a team that can challenge for the title or anything. But the way they're playing right now, I mean, they look pretty unbeatable. It's really tough to see right now the Tigers catching up to them and overtaking them. I don't know if the two teams match up in a series between now and the end of the year, but I'm starting to lean towards liking the Royals in that division, even though they might not have the guys with the pedigree on that team to get it done.
Is it just a matter of time before the Tigers start playing well again? Is it such thing as like they're just unlucky right now?
I think that right now their pitching has been up and down. I think that when they're putting Max Scherzer out or David Price out, they're doing really well and they're lights out. By the way, the Royals haven't made the playoffs since 1985, so before either you or I was born. when they won the World Series. I know, right? So it's the longest streak of that type, kind in probably in the big four sports. Their bats are kind of letting them down right now. So if I'm a Tigers fan right now, I'm still confident that they could find a way to eke out that second wild card spot, which is probably all that's going to be available. Because the whoever doesn't win the AL West of the Angels and the Athletics pretty much has a wild card spot locked down. So really, it's between the Mariners, the Tigers, the Yankees. I'm not going to say the Blue Jays.
No.
Because really, they're free-falling.
Yes.
But it's between those guys right now for the wild card, I would say.
Cool. You still all about the LA Angels of Anaheim World Series?
Yeah, actually, I kind
of
am.
The stupidest name of all sports. How could they be in two cities?
Because their stadium is in that word, Anaheim.
That aren't even close together.
No, their stadium is in Anaheim, or it's on the outskirts of Anaheim, out towards Los Angeles. And are there? You know, I don't know. It is stupid. I agree with you. But yeah, I still like Dodgers Angels World Series right now. I see nothing to dispel that. I think both those teams have pretty much locked up playoff spots. The Dodgers, big threat right now in the NL, looks like the Nationals, who are 9-1 in their last 10 and are looking really good. But I do think the Dodgers have a better team than the Natties, so it'll be interesting to see for sure, though.
Yep. By the time this podcast comes out, it will be Monday. We are recording on Sunday.
Monday.
There's only two things happening today. Well, I guess there's baseball happening today. But
other things, yes.
The Little League World Series. Do you watch the Little League World Series?
And no, nor do I bet any Monet on it. Boom!
Wow.
Destroys it.
Monet Davis.
No, but seriously, like, is that not the story? I mean, I don't even know, like, who's in it or whatever. All I know is that a girl was pitching and was just throwing heat.
She won the first girl to win a game at the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
She was throwing 71 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Which from 46 feet away is equivalent to like 101 mile an hour in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Something stupid like that.
She was throwing heat and she was throwing deep breaking balls too when I was watching. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, must be the Monet.
Yeah, that's. Oh my God, Nelly. A Nelly reference on this podcast. It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over.
It's over.
I don't know. I mean, are you actually watching the games?
I don't have cable, so I have to pick and choose what I watch. And the Little League World Series doesn't really make the cut. I know it's Chicago won the U.S. bracket, and South Korea, or probably Japan, won the international bracket. I think it's South Korea.
Yeah. What kind of, like, I mean, do they, like, win money? Or no, they can't win money. They're just kids.
There was talk of the CEO of Little League offering compensation, thinking about it in the near future, which I don't know how that would work. But I would have liked that when I was playing Little League. Man, I was so close to the Little League World Series.
Were you?
Yeah.
Tell us the story, Paul. You're going to be an old man in a rocking chair.
Well, I'll tell you. It was 2002. You have 2 years you can make it when you're 11 and when you're 12.
Yep.
And the overage players are 13, they can play. So it was 2002 or 2003, and let's just say the BC, you have to play your district in your province, and then the winner of each district plays in provincials, the winner of each province plays in Canadians, and the winner of Canadians goes to the League World Series. That's how it works in Canada. And we won our district, District 6, represent, and then we went to provincials, and BC is known for making it in the Little League World Series. When BC gets to Canadians, they kill everyone.
Except we have, like, the best program, don't we? The best Little League program?
I would say so, yeah. And I don't know much about it, and I didn't really go very far into it afterwards, but I think so. And I think it shows, I think if you look at Little League, I think Wally won all the provincials when they were in their heyday when it was my thing. I was Kevin Durant and Wally was LeBron James.
Wally.
And so we lost 1-0 in the finals of provincials in our year where we thought we were going to make it. Wally went to Canadians and destroyed everyone.
Yeah.
And then that was the year that they went to the Little League World Series and we were all so choked.
Yeah.
And that was it. There's no more.
So there you go, folks. There's your fable of the day. Paul Almeida lost 1-0 and he could have been hitting up against a girl.
I could have.
Yeah.
Little League World Series, I take it back. I asked you like 6 podcasts ago what the hardest trophy to win in sports is. It was like Stanley Cup or Memorial Cup. I think it's the Little League World Series.
Some bullshit, sir.
It's absolutely the hardest trophy. You have 2 years to win it and then you're done. That's it.
Paul, please.
Hardest trophy in sports.
Paul, please. Don't even. I got a question for you, Paul.
Okay.
Sports related, because we don't have a lot of sports to talk about. So we're kind of making this a whatever podcast just so people can hear our beautiful voices. What's your favorite sports video game series of all time?
It's NHL because it's the only one I play.
You don't play Madden or FIFA or anything like that?
I don't. I play it when I have the opportunity, but I don't go and buy them. I have NHL. I've played every NHL since John Van Beesbrook graced the cover in 1997.
God, I remember that one, man. Not.
Do you think I could name all the people that covered up to... I don't think I can.
No, but I might have buzzer beater that for you.
Okay.
We will see. But, okay, well, NHL. All right, are you going to buy... I mean, have you seen the trailers for NHL 15 coming out?
They got
the
new,
like, on the next-gen systems?
I can't wait. I won't buy it for... I don't think I'm going to buy a PS4. But NHL is the go-to with a special shout-out to Triple Play 2001 for the PC. Yeah.
With Manny Ramirez on the cover?
Yeah, with the cheats. You could put in cheats for that game. Oh, God. So what a great game. That was so funny.
I think for me... I've never been a big Madden guy. I've never thought that Madden were the most fun games. I always loved FIFA, though. And I think that FIFA nowadays, they have the whole system with dynasty systems, but it's so deep with transfers and with you get to scout all over the world. I remember I had my Arsenal dynasty and I had it into like the 15th season. And this guy who was my best striker was this guy who was like a 98 overall who I had scouted from like Malawi or something. Like, I just thrown some rando scout out in the middle of Africa. And, like, he came back with this kid who was, like, A-plus potential. And I signed him. He ended up being, like, the next Didier Drogba Samuel Eto'o. Just straight out of, like, just the middle of Africa. And he was the best player. And he carried separate occasions. So, I love FIFA. FIFA has always been my go-to series. I appreciate NHL. I do think there's more that EA could do with the NHL series, though. I mean... I feel like their GM dynasty franchise mode, whatever it's called, is good, but it's not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've expanded it. I don't know how much you've played now. They have GM Connected.
Okay.
Where you can basically, I get a team, you get a team, and then we play. Our GM dynasties are like interlocked. So if you took the Colorado Avalanche and I took the Buffalo Sabres, whenever Buffalo and Colorado played, we have to play online.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of all in one, which is kind of cool. So I had a giant – ask Wyatt. Wyatt runs a giant league. I was in his PS3 league. It was really cool. We had 30 guys in it. It was a mess trying to schedule everything. But it was really cool. It was fantasy rosters. I can't even remember who I was. I think I was Pittsburgh, and I had
– Actually, I think I remember you having – yeah, I remember you telling me about that, actually.
Yeah, and my team, it came fourth. It was respectable. I got destroyed by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's not respectable. That's upsetting, actually, I would argue.
For real sports.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about who predicted Roger Federer to win in the finals over David Ferrer and Serena Williams to win in the final. Not groundbreaking predictions, but they both did win in Cincinnati. And tomorrow, or I guess today when this is released, the U.S. Open starts.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
That is exciting. That's always a good one. I mean, our boy Jack Sock at 5:01 to win.
Woo-hoo! No Rafael Nadal. Wrist injury.
Yeah.
So this might open it up for Roger Federer.
Or Novak.
Well, usually it's Roger Federer that does well or gains the advantage from Rafa being out because of the draws and how it works. But let's see what we got. Who does Jack Sock play in the first round?
Oh, God,
that's
I
what
don't
we're
know.
looking at.
I hope it's Dominiki Shikabega Bapova or whatever.
He plays Pablo Andujar. Andujar.
Pablo Andujar.
Andujar.
Wow. Okay.
Jack Sock. That's who I'm really going to be watching for this. I'm still picking Novak to win, who's the favorite easily. Roger Federer now second in betting. And then Andy Murray. I never understood why Andy Murray was so low. And then, where's our boy? Where is he? 501-1?
Yeah, 501-1. What about great. The WTA? What about our girl? I mean, I was reading an article on Sportsnet yesterday that was talking about how, you know, her recent bed shitting is something that that sounds a lot less hot when I say it out loud. is something that, you know, her fans and she herself should be a little worried about, because it indicates that maybe she's either tired or she's letting the pressure and the stardom get to her a little bit.
Regressing back to the mean, perhaps.
Oh, that's some solid English right there. Some solid vernacular from Paul Almeida.
Well, that might be it. Maybe she was playing well. We don't know. I think this tournament will show whether those two were a lot beginner's luck, whether they were her playing very well at the right time, and then she, you know, maybe she only performs well on the big stage. You never know. She's 17-1, which is fifth overall. She's ranked higher than Azarenka and Radwanska and Wozniacki. Wozniacki, yes, but not sure about Radwanska and Azarenka. But we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's three solid bets right there. Azarenka, Radwanska, 21-1, both of them, and Bouchard at 17-1 if you want a value bet on the women's side. I think Serena Williams always plays well. It's her backyard. It's her home tournament.
Yeah.
Maria Sharapova is also coming on strong. So that'll be a good tournament to watch. And then it's time for hockey.
Yes. Thank God. You know what? This is, for me, having been away last year, I mean, as a Canucks fan, it was a good year to be away, admittedly.
Yes.
But I saw basically no games live other than when I was in Van at Christmas for a couple weeks. I saw none of the playoffs live. I saw none of that. And then that's been felt like it's been a month or rather a year and a half worth of an off season for me.
Oh, that's awful. I can barely do it with, I mean, I pay attention to the playoffs and I do the playoffs, but it's like when the Canucks aren't playing, I don't really care, you know, and I'm not emotionally invested, I should say. So it's been a long time, April till now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be another month. And speaking of the Canucks, Trevor Linden is spending his offseason riding a bike from Geneva to Nice.
That's pretty excellent.
That's pretty epic.
I'm not going to lie. That makes me a little jealous. As if I wasn't already jealous enough of T. Linden and all of the like attention and ass he gets. Joking!
Joking! How's he done so far? What do you think? He's fired a coach, fired a GM. He's got rid of $9 million of David Booth and Jason Garrison. He's traded away the cornerstone of the franchise, Ryan Kesler. And he's done it all seemingly with no drama.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about the Canucks right now. Good. I've been waiting to talk about the Canucks for a while. And why not? Because a lot of our fans listening to the cast will be Canucks fans as well. I like what Linden has done. More specifically, though, I like what Jim Benning has done. I like what Jim Benning has done a lot. Whereas, you know, and we like to shit on Mike Gillis, and it's vogue to shit on Mike Gillis because he's unemployed now and he did a really crappy job of drafting and he traded away Hodgson and Schneider, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing that Mike Gillis does deserve to be crapped on about is he was a guy who, at least to me, and I'm sure that you will corroborate this, was a lot of talk and little action.
Yes.
Right? Well, is the polar opposite not true of Jim Benning? Is Jim Benning not right now seeming to you like a guy who is little talk and lots of action?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. So looking at the moves he's made in the offseason, I'll look at probably the four biggest moves he's made. The Miller signing. I like the Miller signing. Do you?
I like the it depends. It really depends because I don't see – there's two sides of it. I see this team, like, is the window kind of still open? I don't think we're going to challenge for a cup. In that case, why are we doing that? Let's let Lack figure it out kind of thing.
Okay.
There's the idea that they threw way too much money at a guy that no one else wanted.
Okay.
But then there's the positive side of he is a very good goalie in an awful – he had an unbelievable save percentage playing in Buffalo. So he might be – he might save this team. He might start the year with three shutouts. You never know. So I'm hesitant. I'll save my judgment till December.
He keeps them as a contender at least.
I think they make the – I said they won't. But if they make the playoffs, it'll be because of that Miller signing.
Yeah, okay. The second one, I mean, the Kess trade for Bonino, Spezza, and the draft pick, which became Mr. It Is What It Is, Jared McCann. Yeah, thoughts on that?
From an outsider, purely external point of view, the pieces don't add up. Kessler is a better player than Spezza and Bonino. From an inside the dressing room, how this team works, he was cancer, it sounds like, so it had to be done, in which case it's a good trade.
And you know what, Nick Bonino, you want to know what Nick Bonino brings to this team and the kind of DNA this kid has, just go watch what happened in Dallas in game 6, Duck Stars last year. He scored the game tying goal with 45 seconds to go on a mad scramble effort play, and he scored the game winning goal in overtime on just a snipe show top corner over Kari Lehtinen's shoulder. The kid is clutch. He had a solid year last year. He was even considered for the American Olympic team. I remember reading Scott Burnside said on ESPN. I think that he's underrated going into the season, and I think that he'll be a more than adequate second line center. I'm not crazy about Spezza. He seems like a lot of potential and no fulfillment. And McCann, to me, I mean, jury's out on that. Verbata.
Verbata is the one that intrigues me the most. I think Benning says he's going to be playing with the Sedins. We've heard that before with signings. If he does, it sounds like it could be a good year. I mean, he's a top flight forward when he I guess wants to be playing with the Sedins. Will be, I mean, what, their first right-handed guy since Anson Carter?
Okay.
Trent Klatt. And it... Yeah. So, I mean, looking at our lines going into next year, it could be Sedin, Verbata, Burrows. I guess Cassian was playing with the Sedins for a bit. But Burrows, Bonino, Cassian? Cass.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And then our third line becomes Higgins, Hansen, and...
That was the question I was going to ask you is, looking a lot on message boards and Twitter and stuff, it seems to me that those two first lines you're talking about are accurate. The fourth line people are thinking will be Mathias, Richardson, and Dorsett. And then the third line center is really a competition between Lyndon Vay and Bo Horvat.
Oh, Lyndon Vay. I forgot about
and
that.
And I really like Lyndon Vay. I know that he's not, like, by any means a proven commodity. And we traded a second round pick, which we got for Garrison for him. So essentially, we traded Jason Garrison for Lyndon Vay. But this is a kid who is, 22, 23 years old. He's a young guy. He's going to come onto this team. He's going to be given every opportunity to make the team, I would imagine. He's got lightning fast speed. He's got dangles. He played really well for the Manchester Monarchs the past 2 years. This is someone who I'm really going to keep an eye on in training camp and in the preseason with the hopes that he comes out and he proved. I want to see Horvat on the team too, but I think at this point it would be more beneficial if Lyndon Vay, who's 3 years older than Bo Horvat, made the team.
I think you're right. I think all of those prospects are going to... The Canucks went from almost last in the league in prospects to top 10, I think, pretty quick.
Well, not top 10, but I would say they're inching towards the top half.
Top half? You don't think they're top 10?
Well, okay, the Hockey News in their yearbook from last year, their prospect report had the Canucks ranked 28th out of 30 in terms of prospects. Oof. And this year now, the Canucks' top 7 prospects on their list were Horvat, Virtanen, Shinkarik, McCann, Thatcher Demko, Corrado, and Lyndon Vay. And I think that's a pretty respectable group. I think all 7 of those guys are probably NHLers at some point.
Yeah, Dane Fox wasn't on there?
Dane Fox was 10th.
Oh, okay. So they have some good players coming up, and if half those guys turn into... legitimate NHL players, we have a team in 5 years.
100%. Yeah.
So I think I'm on the Horvat train. I've always liked Horvat, and I think it'll be good. It'll be good when he does make the team, I don't think that'll be this year. So we'll see what happens. I think the Lucas Sabiza thing that always got me is he doesn't have to be the biggest thing because our defense is pretty solid in its depth with Tanev and Edler, if Edler can play well, and BX and Hamus there. So he can suit the solid five role, and as long as he hits the net, he won't be as bad as Jason Garrison.
Yeah, and the forgotten guy who I like, Ryan Stanton, who's still on this team.
Ryan Stanton.
Ryan Stanny.
The best 6D man since Aaron Rome.
No, don't even talk about Aaron Rome. Right? Come on. All right, well, shall we transition to the world famous buzzer beater, which will all be segued into by Price is Right music.
A one, two, a one, two, three, four, go. Okay, I'm going to start the music for real now.
Okay, thanks. That was really awkward.
All right. Singing over top of
you. I will ask you my five buzzer a beater questions, and you can answer them, and then we'll move on to you asking me, and then we'll tell the folks what we're doing this coming week.
Okay.
All right, Paul, are you ready to go?
Hit me. Rapid fire, go!
And here we go. How many times have you won the Stanley Cup as the Vancouver Canucks in NHL video games, would you say on estimate?
Like for legit or just by myself in a corner drinking beer?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Legitimately once in my GM Connected. Mm-hmm. And probably by myself, like 17? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, so like doing the play now kind of thing.
Play now.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about like earned it. Like oh, earned it? Then your franchise mode.
Oh, once.
Once. Okay, cool. Okay, what is, to you, I mean, and this is a subjective question. What's hotter, Venus Williams or a bar of soap covered in hair?
Bar soap covered in hair.
Yeah, there you go. Something funny. The Kevin Love Andrew Wiggins trade. Who wins it now? Who wins it in 5 years?
The Cavs easily win it now, and the Andrew Wiggins won't be playing in Minnesota, but he wins it in 5 years when he's a superstar.
For the Toronto Raptors?
For the Toronto Raptors.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, I like that. What is that? Three? Yeah, that's three. Okay, what's your favorite? Okay, give me like a moment that you can remember from playing NHL video games that that's your favorite.
Me and my friend Ryan Silva.
Yeah, holler the Ryan Silva. Ryan Silva horn.
I'm not gonna lie. We keep stats on how many Stanley Cups we won between me, Ryan, and Brendan. My friend Brendan. You know Brendan Manitella.
Yeah.
Brendan has won one Stanley Cup.
Nice.
We played the league 8 leagues.
Okay.
Brendan has won one. I've won two cups.
Yeah.
Ryan has won five.
Wow, he's got a dynasty, baby.
He's got a dynasty going. But my favorite moment was when I beat Ryan in the Stanley Cup final. I was losing in game 7 by 2 goals. Ilya Kovalchuk, this was 2 years ago. Ilya Kovalchuk scored 3 goals in 1:35 for me.
Holy, that's ridiculous.
Ryan hates me to this day for that.
I still think my favorite moment of playing NHL video games with you was when we were downstairs and I scored like the winning goal with like 0.1 or 0.2 seconds left on the clock. Or it was a tying goal or winning goal. I couldn't remember.
I can't remember.
And then we just like lost it laughing because I don't even remember the specifics around that moment, but I just remember that.
I thought you were going to say it was when we played Canucks Bruins in a one game for the Stanley Cup.
Oh yes!
To try and avenge it, and we lost it 4-0.
Lost 4-0. I think the first goal is Patrice Bergeron, and you looked at me, you're like, no. And like Chara manhandled the Sedins.
Oh, it was awful. Dan Hamhuis got injured.
It actually made me more depressed.
Yeah, that picture is on my Instagram. It's also PauloMeda22. I think it's like way at the beginning. It's really funny.
God, so bad. All right, my fifth buzzer beater question. Rookies for the Canucks this year that you think will make an impact. I'll give you some options. Horvat, Shinkarik, Corrado, Vey. We'll also put Vertanen in the can in here. Who's the better player right now and will make an immediate impact? I mean, who do you think will be the better player in 5 years?
Better player in 5 years? I mean, Hunter Shinkarik looks like he has the Pat Kane-ishness. But I think most consistent, you got to go with Bo Horvat. Okay. I think in terms of immediate impact, depends on who makes the team. So I'll say Lyndon Vey, okay. If not Frank Corrado.
Okay. All right. And I have a bonus.
That was four options.
Yeah, that was, you didn't give me a friggin' solid. But I said, with the exception of Vertanen and McCann, actually funny enough. I think Vertanen will be a good top six sniper for us, but I'm not sure he's the talent that, say, Sam Reinhart's going to be. And we almost got Sam Reinhart.
So. Oh, we were close.
Bonus question for you. Now, in honor of something I linked on my Facebook wall this week, and in honor of something the Emmys are doing, the Emmys are showing a lot of love right now to your and my probably favorite show of the past couple of years, and that would be Breaking Bad.
Yep.
They had that skit with Cranston and Aaron Paul making a reunion with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which I thought was hilarious. They're doing a Breaking Bad scavenger hunt that Aaron Paul is kind of hosting and tweeting about.
Are they really? I haven't seen
that. Yeah, in L.A. Before the Emmys here. Paul, what is your favorite slash most memorable slash most epic Breaking Bad moment?
Oh.
Spoiler alert, folks, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Turn it off.
Yeah.
I think... Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I think my favorite moment must have been... I mean, episode one where he's cooking in his underwear is just great because you know what's going to happen. I think when he blows up the Gus's face.
Yes.
That's epic. Pretty epic.
Yeah.
And I think Hank dying is the climax of the series almost.
Yeah, the Ozymandias episode with Hank dying is up there. I think that's great. I mean, I think that everyone always talks about the...
You asked for one answer. I give you three again.
You're really bad at being, you know...
decisive?
At really being specific and decisive, yeah. I mean, the Ozymandias one with Hank is up there. One of my very favorite moments from that show is the one where he's... I think he's gone to find the money underneath the floorboards, remember? And it's all cobwebby. And then Skyler comes in and tells him that she's given the money to Ted to pay him off after the guys tried to kill him. And then he starts laughing hysterically. And the way that the camera zooms out of the hole and like up almost like into the roof at him just laughing. Just so epic.
It's cool. If you look at one of my favorite clips of all time is it's not the show, but it's of Aaron Paul on Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien asking him if he put bitch into the script or if that was Vince Gilligan, and Aaron Paul just saying it was Vince Gilligan, and then Conan O'Brien asks him what his favorite bitch is, and and Aaron Paul, he's like, oh, there's so many good bitches, and he's like, Gatorade me bitch is a good one, my own personal domicile bitch was a good one.
Oh, my favorite is magnets. Oh, but he doesn't say bitch, he just goes magnets. Oh, yeah bitch.
Oh, Aaron Paul, he apparently has people just yelling bitch at him and like wanting like, can you call my wife a bitch, I'd really love it.
Oh my god, that feels hilarious. Feels so bad for the guy. He's just trying to go about his own business, sitting there trying to have like a nice dinner with his girlfriend, and someone's like, call my wife a bitch.
Hey,
just do it.
Hey bitch, give me some meth, bitch.
Hey, Jesse, I'm gonna slap you around a little bit on camera, is that okay? Okay, your turn, ask me.
All right, here we go, five questions. Number one is multi-layered.
Okay.
You gotta answer these quick, here we go.
Seven-layer dip, here we go.
In honor, in the light of you doing the ALS challenge and me doing the ALS ice bucket challenge, we will post on the podcast page.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
Question 1A. Better ALS challenge, Charlie Sheen, Bill Gates, or Patrick Stewart?
Bill Gates.
Funnier, Kevin Hart, Ryan Kessler, or PK Subban?
Kevin Hart.
More over the top, PK Subban or Paul Bissonnette?
Bissonnette, who probably did the first epic one that I saw.
Yeah, he started the whole thing. Not the whole thing, but he made it big. More boring, most boring one, Batman, Kobe, or Dwayne Wade?
Kobe!
Better over...
He just dips his head in there and he goes, oh, that's cool. Like, come on, Kobe.
You're already in it. Better overreaction, LeBron James or Oprah?
Oprah, buddy. Although LeBron is such a little sissy. I mean, didn't we know that? He was like, sir, you are in Greece.
You're in a yacht on Mykonos Island.
Don't even act like that.
Who tried to be more cool, Colin Kaepernick or Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber? I'm gonna do a second one for all my believers.
Shut up. Better call out, Vince McMahon calling out Kermit the Frog, who did one. It was great. LeBron James calling out President Obama or Shakira calling out the Pope?
Oh man, I didn't see Shakira calling out the Pope, and I don't think the Pope did it. But Vince McMahon calling out Kermit the Frog, man. Vince McMahon is just a tremendous douchebag, but he is a showman, man. He knows what he's doing. I'm watching the Kermit the Frog one right now. Actually, I hadn't seen it to this point.
It's pretty good. It's actually really good.
He's on a log. He's a frog, so it shouldn't really affect him that much.
He also is a Muppet. Are you watching it?
Yeah, I'm watching. Actually, that's hilarious. A look at his face after it happens. That's pretty priceless.
F or G, who hasn't done one that you want to see do it?
Well, the Pope isn't a bad one. It's not a bad call. Your mom hasn't done it yet.
She has.
Has she?
She has. I nominated my entire family. They did it standing in a line.
That's awesome. I would love to see who would do it really well. Has Ricky Gervais done it? I feel like he'd do something really funny.
Yeah, maybe. And name a fictitious character you want to see do it.
I would like to see... Well, I'd like to see Walter White do it.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see... Ned Flanders do it. And maybe like a wet t-shirt so that you can see all his ripply muscles.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind... Well, has Eugenie done it?
Oh, she got nominated by George St. Pierre. I don't think she did it yet.
That is horse shit. She's not a fictitious character, but...
She is in my dreams.
That's who I'll say for my ultimate one.
All right. That was all question one. Here we go. Now, for real. Number two, best jersey in sports. This is the BC Lions, like, gunmetal blacks. B, the Yankees classic pinstripes. C, Tiger Woods Sunday red and black. Or D, the Chicago Blackhawks, which I believe are the best in the NHL. Or E, other.
Tiger Woods Sunday red and black is a great, great option to put on there. And I will say that. I probably wouldn't have thought of that off the top of my head. But your suggestion of it, I mean, is there anything more epic and more intimidating even than when you see Tiger, or awesome, than when you see Tiger in his victory red and black on a Sunday in the thick of it?
In the thick of it. Number three, who should be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Is it Brian Hoyer, which they named, or Johnny Football?
Well, it should be Brian Hoyer on merit. I mean, when I was watching that game, he looked a lot better than Manziel, who just sits in the pocket for so long. I guess he sits in the pocket and counts how much money he's making every second.
Number four, which city would you rather live in based only on their sports teams? And you had to convert religions and change to fans of these teams. Would you move to Chicago? Blackhawks, Bulls, Bears, and White Sox, Cubs. Cleveland, with the Cavs, Browns, and Indians. Washington, with the Capitals, Wizards, Nationals, and Redskins. Sport team of Washington. Or D, Colorado, with the Avalanche, Broncos, Rockies, and Nuggets.
Those are my only options. I can't go with other.
Sure, you go with other.
Well, I mean, I would want to live in Boston. Does Boston not always... I mean, okay, look, we hate the Bruins, fair enough. But if I grew up in Boston, I wouldn't hate the Bruins.
That's true.
And the Bruins are a good team. The Pats are always a good team. The Red Sox are defending champions. Sure, they're having an off year, whatever. And the Celtics are the number two dynasty franchise in NBA history and will eventually get back up to that perch. I mean, cheering for those four teams as a Bostonian sports fan must be a lot of fun. The best sports town right now, I would probably say, I mean, you have to say it's L.A.
Oh, it's got it.
I know that they don't have an NFL team, and I know that the Lakers aren't very good right now, but, I mean, they've got the two best MLB teams. They got the defending champs in the NHL. It's good times. Lakers.
Yeah, they that's got to be, in 10 years when I'm living in L.A., that will be the best.
Yeah.
I'll still like the Canucks, but the fact that I, like, yeah, I'm a Redskins fan, I'm a Mariners fan, but the fact that I would have, I say this so sure that I'll be there, but the Lakers, Clippers, Anaheim Angels of LA, Anaheim, Disneyland, the what the heck, the Kings, the Galaxy, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. Worst sports town of the towns that you can think of right now, is it Buffalo, is it Houston, or is it Toronto?
I think Toronto, well, it's fun being here in Toronto because there's such a low level of expectation.
That's fair.
And everyone goes to Leaf games. Everyone loves going to Blue Jays games because it's like $10 to go. The Raptors, everyone's all about the Raptors. Toronto FC is kind of doing well right now. I wouldn't say Toronto. Might be Buffalo, close enough. Cleveland might be up there. Although, it'll be fun to be if you're a Cleveland sports fan this year.
Yeah, it would be. Just a quick breaking news I'm seeing on ESPN right now. Sam Bradford's out for the year.
Oof, ACL?
Yeah, ACL. He injured his left knee again, suffered the same injury last year, I guess. He's out for the entire season, it looks like. He tore his ACL. So that that means that that division is now even more slanted Seahawks, Niners way.
Yeah, that was.
And that's, yeah, that sucks for the Rams.
Yeah, wow. Sean Hill, you are now the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
For the St. Louis Rams. That is brutal. They have taken a fall since the Marshall Faulk and with their big receivers.
Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt.
There you go.
Another really weak sports city when I'm thinking about it, St. Louis.
The Blues, the Rams, yeah. The Cardinals, and the...
Well, actually, no. What am I thinking? The Cardinals are like a model franchise in the MLB.
Do they not have a basketball team?
No, they don't. What about Phoenix? Yeah, the Yotes. The Suns, the Diamondbacks, who won back in 2001 but have generally sucked since then. And
that's it.
And the Cardinals in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Arizona Cardinals.
Anyway.
Seattle. What about Seattle? They have the Seahawks, they have the Mariners, but then that's it.
Yeah, but they might have an NBA and an NHL team soon.
I guess maybe.
Maybe soon.
Maybe. Okay, last question.
Yep.
We really got to speed these up. We had to, like, narrow them down to 15 seconds. Just ask rapid fire.
I know.
Number 5, in one word, describe how excited you are for the upcoming hockey season.
Splooge.
And with that, we leave the podcast until later this week.
This week, folks, we are going to start with our NFL discussion. We're going to slowly segue into some more NHL discussion. We'll have U.S. Open to talk about. We'll have more baseball to touch on a little bit, and we'll have more fun times for you. Maybe we'll discuss a few more movies that Paul Almeida is going to be watching.
Yeah, what should I watch tonight? / when this podcast comes out yesterday.
Well,
what should I watch yesterday?
Is it like Netflix that you have?
The Project Free TV.
Project Free TV. Probably shouldn't say that out loud. Hey?
They're our sponsor for this episode, though.
After watching Good Will Hunting last night, you enjoy war movies? Go watch Argo. You know what? That's a really fast-paced, modern classic. That's Ben Affleck directed that one as well. I mean, since you're on a Ben Affleck-a-palooza right now. And I really thoroughly enjoyed Argo. It's dramatic. It's well-written. It's suspenseful. It's a really good movie.
Argo it is.
Argo it is. Argo F yourself.
Argo away.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll see folks probably on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on work-related things and such.
Yeah. All right.
And remember, Paul, you're the smartest person I know. You're also the dumbest. He made up his mind 10 minutes ago. Do what you gotta.
This is me straightening my tie as half my face is blown off.
See ya. Bitch!